Man, imagine an aircraft carrier out there and the sailors running the ship and not the captain. And they're saying, we've got a good idea. We're coming into port here and we'd like to take the people in the brothel and make them crew members. And you find the silliness of this, but this is what's happening in the church. What we must guard against is identifying these things without love. It's impossible in the flesh, but the spiritual man has muscles that the carnal man knows nothing of. The spiritual man knows that he can overcome anything that the flesh throws his way if he will just persevere, if he will remain faithful to the little things.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Let's join Pastor Rick.
There are many reasons or many symbols that come out of it, but the main one is I am now immersed in this Jesus. All of me now belongs to Him, and He's coming again. And so I want to take a minute to kind of go through the baptism just briefly. Well, it will help us do it, but we must remember that baptism does not speak of cleansing. That is done by Christ at the cross. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But it does speak of our belonging, of our response. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there is also an antitype. And an antitype means something that fulfills something else in the scripture, a type that, in an antitype, it precedes, he says, which now saves us. Baptism. Now, he's not saying baptism saves us. The Bible never preaches that. It is like circumcision. It has no power. It is a rite, and that's the extent of it. But what is behind the rite is what gives it power. The cross that we might wear as a necklace or a piece of jewelry has no power to save us whatsoever. But it certainly speaks of what has happened on our behalf, the old rugged cross, the cross of Christ. And so it says there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That would be repentance. Paul, again, has already spoken in Romans of the impenitent spirit, the one who refuses to change. He says in Romans chapter 2, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so there are contrasts. The one who is impenitent and the one who is repentive by answering God, responding to God. Will you come? I have died for you. Or let whomsoever wills, let him come. I'm coming, Lord. Okay, that is the response of a good conscience that Peter talks about here. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the emblems, the power of what it speaks of is quite significant. And so again, looking at Romans chapter 6, verse 3, as many of us as were baptized, quite matter-of-factly, were baptized. He didn't say, I know, some of you don't believe that. And there's quite a debate. He didn't get into this. He just knew that this is what happened when you became a Christian. There are those that say, well, the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. Show me. Show me in Scripture where it says that, and I'll believe it instantly. But you cannot support that position. It's very unfortunate that many good Bible teachers have taken that turn. Now, it doesn't mean that going to hell doesn't mean the rest of the teaching is wrong. It just means on that point we differ. If it were about the person of Christ, then we'd have a different issue there. But I do believe that all the gifts of the Spirit are still available to the church as the Lord needs, not as people defend. Well, you know, I'm not feeling saved. I got to show somebody that I'm saved. Maybe I'll whip up a tongue or two. That kind of stuff, it goes back to being insincere now. That's fraudulent. You may feel that it's good, but it's not biblical. There are those that they only feel they're saved when the right song is playing. That's very unfortunate. The just shall live by faith, not by feeling. And so, continuing, he says, baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. And now we're getting, death is a big period. It's the end for man, but not for God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. I don't know about you, but I like these Bible references. I don't mean the ones I choose, although I like those too. But I like that the Scripture speaks to these things. This is a signature that this is God's Word. There's no book on earth that cross-references anywhere like the Scripture. You'd have to fake it. It just all locks in. Different guys, different times, saying the same thing in so many different ways and multiple applications to it, so that I might come to a verse when my life is relatively peaceful and be greatly blessed by a verse, and then when my life is relatively challenged or going through struggles, I can come to the same verse and see it differently, and the meaning is never violated. That is the beauty of the thoroughness of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. It's symbolic, of course. You don't bury somebody and you kill them if you do. It would be murder if it were literal. It would be drowning someone. But he says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. If you are a Christian and you listen to conservative talk radio, remember that you will more than likely agree with almost all the logic. But if you are not in the Word, if you are not keeping up your devotions, you will be tied up. You will be bummed out. They offer a few solutions. They have to wait two election cycles to come about before they can exercise their solutions. We live on another scale, in another kingdom. You can be conservative and not be a lover of Jesus Christ. You can be a conservative and go to hell, but you cannot be a Christian and go to hell. You cannot be a Christian and not be passionate about Jesus Christ. Paul said, those who don't love the Lord, let them be anathema. How powerful is that? So, the times we live in, the threats that we have are unique to us as a people. How do we fight these things? Tell me something relative, Pastor. Speak to me about politics. No. We're not here to discuss current events. We're here to discuss Jesus Christ. It covers every event. Whether it is what's going on in Washington or in your neighborhood or in your own heart. So I'm doing my job as a pastor, I hope, when I say that you are free to listen to those things. But I don't think you are as free to listen to them without first listening to the Word of God. You will be tripped up because these are not spiritual people. They're not your leaders. Understand that. And when Christians don't understand that, the church begins to morph into this thing that addresses my political state. And no longer am I living as a subject of the kingdom of heaven. I serve a king, and he is awesome. And I have my assignment here, and I must not be tripped up. So serve as citizens of the land, but first serve as a citizen of heaven. So again, to clarify it, you want to listen to talk radio, have at it. Just make sure you've listened to your God first. And how do you do that? In the Word. People can listen to a talk show host for 3 hours and not give 3 minutes to their devotion time. You are getting suckered. If I'm speaking to you, fix it. Very easy. Okay, there's more I want to say, but I should move on. I think we understand. Because on Judgment Day, there will be no question about what did you hear on the radio. It will be all about the Word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of God stands forever. May we be standing with it. Not one jot, not one tittle is worthy to evaporate. Not one piece of God's word becomes outdated. And we move on. Verse 4, therefore, because of this relationship, because we were immersed with Jesus, we are buried with him through baptism into death. The old nature, the old man, dead, sentenced and gone. And that's how God looks at us. There is no changing of the flesh. When you die, when we die, or raptured, there will be, of course, that likeness of Christ. We will be like him. We will be glorified. Everything will come full orb. We'll have no longer sin to worry about. We'll die never again. But the flesh is done. It is not coming back. We'll receive resurrected bodies because this one is shot. So when Jesus first descended, And in the 3 days after his crucifixion, in the 3 days before he rose again, the body laid still above ground in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. But he wasn't there. And when he rose again, he took that body, but it wasn't the same. And that's why he was not recognized by those who were with him, who touched him, who ministered with him, who shared meals and walks with him. And so it will be for us. And so, coming back to verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As I mentioned, baptism speaks of commitment. It's two movements here, one conclusion. There is the immersion that speaks of death, of covering, and that's what the Old Testament sacrifices spoke of. They spoke of sins being covered. Our sin is taken away forever. But after the immersion, there is also emergence. No, not the emergent church. That's a goofy crew that I would encourage you to avoid and refute with the Scripture. Although, I don't think they know what the Scripture is, considering their behavior. Coming back to this, not a cheap shot, it is the way it is. They have made their choice. They have chosen that the Word of God is not enough. The Bible talks about those, here in Romans actually, just a pause here, this is speaking of the emergent church, there are those who have tried to change God through the ages, even in Paul's day. And he addresses it in his letter. He speaks about those who tried to change the incorruptible God into the image of things that were made by men, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, who worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. These are relics, things that men have created in their own strength. Here in verse 23 of Romans, he says, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. And this is what we see in what this group is doing. They're calling themselves the emergent church. They're coming into this new postmodern age, and they have a new position on God. It's quite ecumenical, and it's quite relic-driven, and it is contrary to the Scripture. That's the only problem I have with it, one problem. It's against what the Bible says. You cannot write things about God that aren't true and not stand in judgment for it. And many people are falling for it because they like the message. They don't want to be held accountable to what the Scripture says. But baptism is this immersion into Christ. And then we emerge in its symbolism to this resurrected life, this new creation, one that cannot be touched by sin. Two movements, one conclusion. What is the conclusion? It tells us right here in verse 4, the newness of life. Even so, the bottom of verse 4, we also should walk in newness of life. This is the holy walk. As we introduce this message with the grace of God, but also with sincerity, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Sincerity and grace is found a part of that. And so this walk, which is challenged, and I don't get it. I don't know why that there are those who have preached hedonism in Christ's name. Live however you want. You're saved. Go for it. It's a lesser version of the old lawless antinomianism. And people are just lapping this stuff up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's so simple, but it's made so complicated. And we have these people that will throw Bible verses out, and I can only conclude in my thinking as I try to wrestle with this, they only know fragments of the Scripture and not the Scripture. Therefore, they're going to have fragments of salvation and not salvation. If you're satisfied with a superficial Jesus, you will get a superficial salvation. You see, of course, it's a mockery of what is being perpetrated by so many people that have infected the church. We hear a kind of insistent that we protect the church, that it remains God's house, that it does not become sort of a free-for-all for creative expression, that folks cannot come in and just say, I have a good idea, let's do this. And we've talked about this quite a bit, but maybe you're visiting here. And maybe you come from a church where the people sort of ran the ship. Again, imagine an aircraft carrier out there and the sailors running the ship and not the captain. And they're saying, we've got a good idea. We're coming into port here, and we'd like to take the people in the brothel and make them crew members. And you find the silliness of this, but this is what's happening in the church. What we must guard against is identifying these things without love. It's impossible in the flesh, but the spiritual man has muscles that the carnal man knows nothing of. The spiritual man knows that he can overcome anything that the flesh throws his way if he will just persevere, if he will remain faithful to the little things. I've kind of gotten away from the things I wanted to comment on baptism, and maybe that's the Lord, but I will say this. If you have given your life to Christ and you've not been water baptized, it is a commandment in the Scripture. It is not something that gets us into or out of heaven. It does have to do with our understanding of the Scripture. Yes, there are those born-again believers who are going to heaven, who love the Lord just as much as the rest of us, who may not believe in the water baptism. But I would be challenged if someone said to me, prove from the Scripture that we're no longer to be water baptized. I don't know how to do that. If someone told me, prove from the Scripture that there's no such thing as a rapture, I don't know how to do that. I believe these things because I believe they are irrefutable. There's no escaping them. Everything we believe is because we cannot disprove it from the Scripture. That's what makes us Christians. That's what makes us different. And that's what makes us hateful to others who do not want this man, Jesus, to rule over them. And so, pressing forward, verse 5 in Romans 6, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And then the death again is to the natural man, the Adamic man, the man like Adam. And you know, God never has a plan to reform the Adamic nature, the natural man, the way we are before we meet Jesus. He has no interest in fixing up that individual. That person must die, be born again. This is the meaning between justification and sanctification. You can't switch the two. You cannot be changed by God without first being saved by God. And there are those that teach this, and they've been around a long time. This is one reason why the church gets involved in social programs at the cost of her theology. She feels that it's more important to address the social ills that exist than standing up for holiness. You can't do them both. Holiness must be first, righteousness. And this, again, is the problem when the church becomes a family institution. This is what happens when Christians become conservatives and no longer Christians. The message that we are here to proclaim becomes clouded. We're no longer heralds for the king. We're fighting fights that make sense, but they're not assigned to us. And so be careful. The salt and light ministry that we have here, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. And that's what we are. For salvation. That's why. Our salt and light ministry will probably always remain relatively small, because that's not what we're here for. Our bookstore will probably remain relatively small, lest we begin selling junk just for the sake of bragging rights. Look how big this bookstore is. Look all these books we have. All of them worth burning, but look how we have them anyway. And we're trying to sell them to you. Hopefully, you step into that bookstore, you're stepping into it with a confidence, a trust, that these are documents that have been considered viable when it comes to the Scripture. I cannot deal with subjects in a 45-minute or an hour and a half even, or 2 hours, thoroughly from the pulpit. But the books can. That's why they are there. So it is a ministry that comes alongside the pulpit, and it helps bring the fish into the boat. And it can, again, elaborate on thoughts that the pastor may touch on because of time constraints. So, coming back to Romans chapter 6, this death is to the old nature. There's no way to reform it. It must die completely. And out of that, the new man is born. We are now dying to live like Christ and living to not be like the world, living to die to the world. Galatians, we'll take a quick trip, five verses or maybe four. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then there is Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Paul sort of cut his teeth on his theology with the Galatian letter for the Roman letter to come. And when he goes, he elaborates on what he began in Galatians in Romans. I believe that what we read in print were sermons. These things were already being preached by these men. And so we're getting portions. I'm not saying it was a whole sermon. Paul did not preach the entire letter of Romans verbatim in that sense. But out of his sermons came his writings. And that is how it is today. The study of the Word, it is inexhaustive. And Christian, I'm telling you, if you can discipline yourself to study, to do your devotion time, you will only get stronger at it. Other things will begin to drift. But if you need an occasion to get into the Word, you're missing it. If you get into an argument with somebody and you've got to prove your point from the Scripture, and that's the only time you open your Bible, you're missing it. We go through this Word. We feed on it. It nurtures us. It strengthens us. It causes us to mature. There's a check and balance system built in that allows a man or woman to examine themselves in such a way that they would never allow another to examine them. And this state of war that I speak about between the flesh and the spirit is already read in Galatians also. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, we're just traveling through, but we have a destination. A sojourner may just be one traveling through, but a pilgrim has a destination, and it involves worship. And ours, of course, is heaven. He says, Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And this is what Paul preached, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 6:17, from now on let no one trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Again, this is dying to live like Christ and living to die to the world is what I'm speaking about. There's one more scripture verse that we must not miss, and that is Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. This is not something that is given on conservative radio, or worse, when Christians try to take on political events. I'm not bashing them. That's not my purpose at all. I do listen to conservative radio also. That's how I learned these things. I participated. But I know when I'm not in the Word, they get me. But when I'm in the Word, it is right. So I stay in the Word. I do not lose my balance, my poise. I do not get confused why I'm here. I love this country, but I love Jesus more. And may that never change. And may that be the way it is with you also. We have enough love to do that. So, if you want to be effective, be one as a Christian. You want to put terror into the heart of the devil, uphold the truth of the Word. But coming back to this, I do want to get to verse 14. We have like a minute left. Are you with me, gang? Verse 6 is done. No, we're doing verse 6. And we'll finish, I guess, with verse 6 to my chagrin. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Again, there's no way to save him. He must be destroyed. That Adamic nature. If you have not been born again, there's not anything God can do for you except get you born again. You must become a new wineskin in this sense. And he continues, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. It does not mean that we do not sin anymore, unfortunately. Sin is not dead to us, we are dead to it. It will attack us. It will come at us. And we are to fight fiercely to to beat it, and it can be conquered. Ultimately, it will be destroyed, but that upon death or rapture.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the book of Romans the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through the book of Romans. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.